Well, my name is Andrew Campbell. I was born in Banbridge in July 1961. If you're any good at maths, you'll work out quite quickly that I'm 51. I was born in Banbridge Hospital on the 20th of July 1961. The day that I was born, word reached my grandfather. My grandfather lived in Annalong. He was a great man of God in Annalong. He went to Ballyvay. He lived in Ballyvay. A great man of God. Word reached him that he had his first grandson. And I'm told that my grandfather got down on his knees in a little cottage at the foot of the Mourne Mountains. And my grandfather prayed on the day that I was born that there would come a day that I would be born again. He didn't live to see that prayer answered. He died whenever I was 13. He died in 1974. But Almighty God heard his prayer. We were brought up in Banbridge. Went to Donaghcloney Presbyterian Church. It was quite an evangelical church. We went to the Sunday school there in the morning time. Went to church every Sunday. Went to another Sunday school in the afternoon. It was called Tonnochmoor Hall. And faithfully, week by week, we were taught the scriptures. And I knew from an early age that I was a sinner. I had no problem accepting that there. And I knew that you weren't born a Christian. There had to be a decision for Jesus Christ. We were taught the scriptures. Remember a verse we learned every week, basically every week in Sunday school, Numbers 32 and 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. And I was always aware as a young child, whenever I did something wrong, if I took something that didn't belong to me, if I told my parents lies, I knew that I had sinned. And many times in Sunday school, as a young child, I was challenged to give my life to Jesus Christ, but never took the step. We moved house in 1973 and we joined Scarborough Street Presbyterian Church in Banbridge. And there again, I was heavily involved in church. Youth fellowship, boys brigade, youth club, Sunday school. Week after week, exposed to the gospel. But never took that step. Probably at that time, I was a teenager, early years, 13 or 14, and I was afraid of what my friends would say if I went into school and told them that I was now a Christian. I was afraid to tell people that I was going to be a Christian. Whenever I was 17, I met Deborah. We've been together for 34 years. Deborah was only 14 whenever I met her. People accused me of child snatching and baby snatching. Deborah was only 14, I was 17. I met her whenever I was going home from school. She was coming from another school, and we met each other on the road, and the rest, as they say, is history. Whenever I was 18, I got fed up with working at school. I couldn't have it anymore. I did 1 year of my A-levels. I was going out with Deborah, and I had no interest in school. My mother told me about a job advertised in the Banbridge Chronicle for a trainee manager with a firm called Haldane Shields, they were then, in Newry. And I went for an interview in Newry, and I had an interview with a man called John Haldane, who was murdered by the IRA a few years ago. And John Haldane said to me, I'd like to give you a job, but I want you to go to Portadown, to Shillington's. You know it now as Haldane Fisher. And I went to Shillington's, and I started in Shillington's on the 1st of October, 1979. That's 33 years ago tomorrow. And there were a lot of people in Shillington's in those days. They used to ask how many people work in Shillington's, and the answer was about half of them. And I think myself and Ben Talford, we were in the right half. We were in the half that worked. I started in Shillington's on the 1st of October 1979. At that stage in my life, I was 18 and had a choice to make. Had a big choice to make. Was I going to stay in the things of the church? I knew the things in the church weren't going to save me, but they were a very, very good influence on me. Was I going to stay with those things, or was I going to go with my friends? Most of my friends were now going to the nightclubs and the bars in Banbridge. And I had a choice to make. And not for the first time in my life, I made the wrong choice. I made the wrong decision. And I decided to go with my friends, and that was a terrible decision because that led to 17 years into the far country. Rebelling against everything I've been taught in the home and in Sunday school and in church and in youth fellowship. I made the wrong choice. Young people, if you're here tonight, if you're a Christian, some of your friends might be putting you under pressure to go to nightclubs and to go to bars, and you feel that peer pressure. And you think to yourself, well, I could witness to my friends in the bar. I could talk to my friends in the nightclub about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, you're deluded. You will not be able to drag your friends out of the world. They will drag you down. So you need to take a stand. If you're a Christian, take a stand for Jesus Christ. You see, the world promises much. The world promises joy, fulfillment, and peace, and satisfaction, but it offers emptiness. I spent too many nights on the bathroom floor, not able to even get into my bed to tell you anything different. The world will leave you empty, unfulfilled, dissatisfied, no hope. 1 John 5:12 says, he that hath the Son hath life. I got married in 1986. Got married in Banbridge. We set up our first home in Dromore. The terraced house. We just bought four walls and my uncle helped me to fix it up. Little house in Rampart Street in Dromore, and we were blessed with two boys. They're 21 and 25. I was still working in Shillington's, happily married. But you see, that decision I made whenever I was 18, the consequences of that were starting to unravel. I became to drink more, to realize that I needed more drink. My mother is a Christian, and I knew that it was wrong. I tried to hide it from her, but the more I tried to hide it, the more I wanted to do it. I was happily married, but starting to live just a very self-centered life, living just for me, what I could get out of life, my pleasure, my satisfaction, my fulfillment. I was still going to church. Still going to church every couple of weeks. My wife went one week, I went the other. The other one looked after the children. And I was under no illusions that I wasn't saved. Under no illusions that I was on a fast track to a lost eternity. I used to tell Deborah all the time, we need to get saved. And Deborah didn't really understand what that meant because her background was different from mine. And she wondered what we were talking about. She said, sure, we're going to church, we're doing okay. But I said, we need to get saved. I changed jobs. I left Shillington's in February 1988. And I started a new job in Belfast the next month, March 1988. It was a reps job with a timber company in Belfast. And that job meant more socializing, more of the drink culture, more socializing with customers at night time and even during the daytime, taking customers out for meals. And you know what happens after that? There's drink involved. And so my life became just encircled, immersed in alcohol. And my weekend started on a Thursday night. And ended on a Sunday night to my shame. This is the young boy that was brought up in Sunday school. He spent Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday night drinking, searching for answers, searching in the wrong places. And people looked at me with a nice job, company car, nice suit. saw me at church, and they thought I was a respectable, decent person. You see, the outward appearance was clean cut. But you see, inside here, in the heart, rotten. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. Maybe you scrub it pretty well for church. Maybe people think that you are a respectable person, but I want to ask you about your heart. Because only God can see your heart. And God knows your heart. In 1994, 6 years into the job, things changed for me in that job because there was a man who started to work with me and he was a Christian. And he did what any faithful Christian would do. He started to witness to me about Jesus Christ. And we would travel in the car up and down from Banbridge and he would talk to me about the gospel. And he started to give me tapes to listen to. Now, young people, tapes are what CDs are now. They're in the wee cassette tapes. So he used to give me those, and I used to be out in the road. In between my calls, I would listen to these tapes he gave me from Banbridge Baptist Church and from other churches around the country, and listen, God started to speak to me. And over a period of 2 years, there was a real battle going on for me, for my soul, I believe. But the more God started to speak to me, the more the devil dragged me down. The more my life seemed to be spiraling out of control. But I was listening to these tapes every week, and God was speaking to me. Some of my customers over in Hillsborough invited me to a mission in Ballykeel Baptist Church in December 1996. And I just accepted the invitation. I said, I'll go to the mission, okay. And Pastor Tom Shaw was speaking of that mission. And that night, that Thursday night at the mission, he spoke in the text from Matthew 27:22. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And God spoke to me very clearly that night. And I knew that night that I had a decision to make. What was I going to do with Jesus, who is called Christ? And my decision that night was to walk away. But you see, our reading in Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, I shut out the voice of God again. I had no right to hear the voice of God again. He spoke to me very clearly and I walked away. See, the reason why I didn't want to become a Christian that night was because Christmas was coming up. I didn't want to miss the Christmas party. Because at the Christmas party, I was the life and soul of the party. Everybody laughed at my jokes. But I walked away. During that Christmas 96, my sister gave me a tape to listen to. It was Sam Workman speaking in Belfast. The message was how God speaks. I started to listen to this tape, Sam Workman's tape, and I listened to it every day. And I knew this tape from front to back and from back to front, how God speaks. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. And I couldn't sleep. And I had no peace. I know now that I was under deep conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit. I was under such trouble that I came home on the Monday night, the 3rd of February 1997. I lifted the phone book and I rang Sam Workman. I didn't know Sam Workman. If he'd walked into the room, I would have known him. I phoned Sam Workman. I said, look, I've been listening to this tape and I'm concerned. And he says, I'm going to pray for you. But I want to leave you with you a verse of scripture. It was the verse we read tonight, Ephesians 2, verse 8. You all know it off by heart. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I didn't understand it that night. I do now. That was a Monday night. On the Tuesday, I was in Portadown. I was driving out the Tandragee Road, and I saw little signs along the side of the road, and it said, Gospel Mission. And I thought to myself, I'll maybe go to that mission. I was in Armagh on the Thursday evening. I come home to work, home from work, and said to Deborah, I think I'll go to this mission in Portadown. So I drove from Banbridge to Portadown, walked into the little hall on, it's called Piper's Trees Memorial Hall on the Tanderee Road, walked in off the street to a gospel mission. Now, I've been involved in missions since I've been saved, and people don't do that. People just don't walk in off the street to a mission. People don't just drive from one town to another town to walk into a mission, but God brought me there. And I walked in that little hall and I sat down, and God was there. Some of you here tonight were praying for that mission. Some of you were in that hall praying that God would move, and God was there, and the spotlight was on me. We sang a hymn I'd never heard of song before. It's in your book, number 101. Blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. Blessed be the dear Son of God. Only by His stripes are we healed. Though I've wandered far from the fold, bringing to my heart pain and woe, wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. The Reverend John Gray was there. Reverend Elliot was there. Reverend Gray spoke on Agrippa in Acts 26. And Agrippa's response to the gospel. You see, Agrippa's response to the gospel, he said, almost. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And that was Andrew Campbell that night. Almost. All those days in Sunday school. All those nights at the youth fellowship. All those gospel missions. That gospel mission in Ballyheal Baptist Church just 2 months earlier, almost. The Reverend Gray explained the reason why Agrippa didn't become a Christian. You see, the reason why Agrippa didn't become a Christian was he loved his sin. And I began to realize for the first time in my life, I loved my sin. And I had to give it up. The Reverend Gray then spoke about Calvary. Spoke about the finished work of Christ. And how the Lord Jesus Christ endured the horrors and the hell of Calvary for miserable, poor sinners like me. And the sin problem was answered once and for all. The work was finished. I heard this story so many times before, but this night it was getting personal. The Reverend Gray made an appeal at the end for anybody who God had spoken to stay behind, to speak to him. I was getting up out of my seat to go home. Would you believe that? But there's a man sitting beside me, and he's here tonight, Jim McMahon. And Jim said to me, if you're concerned, Jim didn't know me. He says, if you're concerned, you should speak to those men at the door. And I spoke to the Reverend Gray. Spoke to Mr. Elliott. They read the scriptures to me. I didn't see things that terribly clearly that night, but then they read a verse from the New Testament, 1 John 1, verse 7, which says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. See that little three-letter word? All sin. That means the world to anybody. It means the world to everyone here tonight who knows Christ. All sin. You see, there's complete forgiveness. There's comprehensive cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. I just said a simple prayer at that little hall on the Tanderee Road, and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, and He saved me. I went back into the hall for a cup of tea. And I sat down beside Ben Telford. And I said to Ben, I got saved tonight. And that was it. And I was a new man. I went home and told Deborah. Deborah was delighted. I went around to see my mother. My mother had prayed for me for over 30 years. Went in the next day to work. To the people that I partied with 2 months ago. And God gave me the strength to tell every one of them individually that I've got saved, that I was a Christian. And Deborah saw an immediate change in me. The drink was in the house was all thrown down the sink. There was an immediate change. Two nights later, Deborah and I went over to the cleft. There was a man called Bill Gilvere giving his testimony, an evangelist from Glasgow, and Deborah got saved. We come home. The mother was babysitting the two boys, and her eldest son heard the news. He got down on the living room floor and gave his life to Christ. So that was three of us in 2 days. And the devil wasn't happy. And he started to bombard me with accusations. But that's when we stand on the Word of God. That's when we take God at His Word. Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from us, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. All the sin is gone. All the bad choices. Because the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. And I'm a forgiven man. That's the greatest need that any person has. Forgiveness. If you're not here tonight, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, your greatest need is not money. Your greatest need is forgiveness. And this forgiveness is only found in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. David said in Psalm 32, blessed is the man who is forgiven. What a joy to know that we are forgiven people. That we are redeemed, that we are adopted, that we are accepted in the Beloved, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. And my life has been completely turned around. New friends, new ambitions, new desires. I went to Bible college part-time for 3 years in Portadown. We got involved in leadership in our old church, in the Presbyterian church, got involved in the youth fellowship and the boys' brigade. Investigated a couple of areas of Christian service. I just felt the call of God in our lives from the first few weeks we were saved. Investigated a couple of areas around 2003, 2004, but the door closed. The Reverend Gray told me the night that I was saved to get up a wee bit earlier in the morning. Half an hour earlier. And spend that time in prayer. Spend it in the Word of God. That was good advice. And it has stood me in good stead for the past 15 years. We moved churches in 2004. We joined the Baptist Church in Dromore. Was given some opportunities to share my testimony in the church and in halls around the district. And then to speak in the church at evening time. And then to speak in the morning. And for the past 3 years, I felt God's call on my life. To step out. Because life's short. Little chorus says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I wrestled with this decision for about 3 or 4 years. I went for an interview at the Irish Baptist College in August 2010. They said they would accept me, and I went to my work and said, look, I want to go to Bible college. They said, would you stay on for another year? So I stayed on for another year. I knew I had a decision to make in April or May of 2011. I needed to get a word from God. People said to me, people advised me, if you're going to step out, you need a word. You need a word whenever trouble comes that you can go back and you can say, God spoke to me. God told me to do this. And I wrestled for 8 or 9 months to get a word, no word. Saturday, the 8th of May, 2011, I had to go the next day, the next Monday, and tell my boss, yes or no, are you going, are you not? The next day I went to our church, there was a visiting speaker. He didn't know our situation. But his text that day was Acts 20:24. I read it to you earlier on. Paul's words. But none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. I was saved by grace. Now God was telling me to go and tell others about this grace, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. That's why I'm here tonight. God spoke very clearly that day, and it was a scary day. Very frightening thing to do, to step out of your work. But I went the next day. I told my boss, the decision stays, I'm going to Bible college. And I left college, I left work at the end of August 2011, started in September last year. I've just commenced my second year at the Irish Baptist College. It's been a difficult year, to be honest, probably the most difficult year of our lives. Our son has been in hospital 3 times with a serious illness. My wife has struggled all year with migraines. The most difficult year of our lives. But I believe God has called us to serve Him. God has called us to prepare for Christian ministry. It's not always easy living for Jesus Christ. I'm sure many of you can testify that. We live in a world of uncertainty. We live in a world of turmoil. And as Job says, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. It's been a challenge for us as a family. But God is faithful. God has proved Himself. 3 things I just want to leave you tonight about my testimony. 3 things I believe that stand out in my story. It's nothing about me, remember. It's all about Christ. 3 things. First of all, the principle of God's sovereignty. Romans 11:36 says, "For of Him and through Him are all things." We look around our world and we see financial meltdown, we see family breakdown, we see earthquakes, we see tsunamis. And the scoffers say, "Where is your God?" Our God is on the throne of the universe. And He does whatever He pleases. He's directing all things after the counsel of His own will. And that same God is interested in me. And that same God is interested in you. I look back on my life. I see all the links in the chain coming together at just the right time. Sunday school teachers faithfully telling me the gospel. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you feel discouraged. Keep pushing on. Telling the young people the good news of Christ. People who witness to me. People who influence me. The friend who worked with me, who witnessed to me and gave me the tapes to listen to. The signs out the Tandraghee Road advertising the mission. And there was a man lived on that Tandraghee Road and he wanted the signs taken down. And he took them down, but they were put back up again. The sermon that the Lord laid on John Gray's heart that night to preach on Agrippa. You see, even though our God is the creator of the universe, even though He flung the stars into the sky, He's interested in individuals. He's interested in sinners. He's not remote. He's not indifferent to our needs. He's a God who's interested in people. The principle of God's sovereignty. Secondly, the power of prayer. Literally, as I've told you, from the day that I was born, people were praying for me. My mother prayed for me for 35 years. My sisters prayed for me. My friends prayed for me. People involved in that mission, maybe some of you here tonight, prayed for that mission and the Tandraghee Road that God would move. People are praying for me in our church tonight. God answers prayer. I would encourage you, if you're here tonight and you're praying for a loved one, a child in the far country, a parent, a brother, a sister, to pray on, because God is faithful and God answers prayer. James 5:16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." I hope you're supporting the Reverend Elliot in the place of prayer. I sincerely hope you are. We all want to see a move of God in our country. I see the little picture out in the Reverend Elliot's study there, the little hall in Kells, the little schoolhouse, where those four men met for 2 years and prayed. And God moved in the 1859 revival. God hasn't changed. 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know it well. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. The principle of God's sovereignty, the power of prayer, lastly, the priority of holiness. As God's people, we need to be living transparently. We need to be living lives of integrity, because at times we blend in too easily with the world. We need to be distinctive. We need to be holy. John Flavel said, "So in love is Christ with holiness that he will buy it with his blood for us." So in love is Christ with holiness that he will buy it with his blood for us. And every one of us have a chink in our armor. Every one of us have a weak point. And we need to be ruthless with sin. We need to resist the devil, because the Bible tells us if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. We need to be killing sin, actively pursuing a holy life. We will slip up. I have slipped up so many times in 15 years with the Lord, but he giveth more grace. That's my testimony. That's my story so far. And it's all because of the matchless, marvelous grace of God. It's all because of the grace of God through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Thomas Brooks says, "Grace is a ring of gold, and Christ is a sparkling diamond in that ring." If you'd said to me whenever I was 35 that I'd be at Bible college when I'm 51, I'd be preparing for Christian ministry, I would have told you, you need your head examined. But you see, that's what God can do with a life. That's what God can do with a life seemingly spiraling out of control. But he can transform lives. He can transform families. He can transform communities. And he can transform you tonight. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you think you are, no matter how good you think you are, there's no one beyond the grace of God. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." But as I close, two things I need to emphasize to you tonight is that salvation, it's all of grace. It's not about graft. You see, we can't lift one finger to appease the wrath of a holy God. It's all of grace from beginning to end. That's what our reading said, Ephesians 2, verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." What a word this is, this grace. Salvation is all of grace. The extravagant, abounding grace of God. But you also need to grasp tonight the absolute urgency of salvation. The urgency tonight. Maybe you've been challenged in recent days. Maybe in Sunday school or youth fellowship or a church here you've been challenged. And you sense that uneasiness about your sin, You're uncomfortable about your sin. There's that burden. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Time is short. The devil will say tomorrow. But God's word always says today. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. None of us in this building are guaranteed tomorrow. Leave your sin. Repent of it. Weep over it. And run to Christ tonight. Because this man welcomes sinners. Amen.